Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Acclaim Global Speaker Series, Soul Speak. I'm your host and founder, Sheldon Pisnat, and today we're going to be interviewing and talking with, in this masterclass, my friend and colleague, Harrison Klein, about traits of the greats. What do the masters feel like and think like? This is going to be a great, great subject. I'm really excited, actually, about this one. Not that I'm not excited about everyone. I absolutely am. And this is going to be a little different. Harrison really hasn't talked to this we set the intention to bring forward a very unique masterclass this time. So no doubt that that is going to manifest. So we'll jump right into that in a bit. But first, a little background on Harrison. And I say little because it would take me the whole masterclass today to share his accomplishments and all of his what he's done. So we're going to give you just a brief summary, okay? Harrison is he's the real deal. He's an award-winning personal growth transformationalist, wealth and business growth consultant, whose mission is to personally change over 1 million lives across the globe. He helps entrepreneurs, salespeople, executives, coaches, marketers, and healers build multi-million dollar companies and achieve the very best version of themselves. So he's really the fantastic resource for us today, especially on this topic. And he has a whole wealth of other topics, which we might get into too. Harrison, thanks for being here. Really grateful and appreciating you that you're here today.
It's my pleasure to spend some time with you, Sheldon. We haven't done that enough. So here we are. Cool. And with your audience.
So, yeah, thanks. Since not every one of them knows you like I know you, why don't you share a little bit about when and how you got started on your personal development trajectory?
Well, I want to start by just saying my obsession is to assist people and businesses to break through to explosive consciousness, which is how I began the trip to begin with. When I was a young kid in my kind of pubescent years, I was in a very difficult home life situation. The home was fairly violent, and it was a pretty bad series of circumstances that were going on. And at one point, my father got violent with my mother, and at that point, I decided that I didn't want to see, if this was life, I didn't want to see any further part of it. And I retreated into an autistic place. I actually retreated back into what today I understand as a parallel universe, though most medical people would not agree with that term. But in point of fact, it was. Knowing the metaphysics of the mysticism that I have experienced, it is, in point of fact, a parallel universe that I was in. And I was straddling between this universe and that. And so I was autistic. I had very little ability to make eye contact with people. I had no conversations till I was nearly 30 years old. I heard about every third word, like a bad cell phone going out every few seconds. I heard about every third word of what people were saying. And I didn't know how to resolve any problems because I was young and, was constantly being overpowered and put down, and I lost my whatever connection I had to that childhood, magic that was, most people feel, at least for the first few years of their lives. I lost all that. And I went into a very, very dark period of my life. Some people would call it the, dark night of the soul. And, I don't want to get too involved in the processes, but I had a lot of different problems, significant problems, and beside what I just told you in the ability of my awareness. But at one point, in about 1972, I believe, I was sitting in an overstuffed chair in Cleveland, Ohio, and I was making a drawing in my apartment with a notebook on my lap, and without warning, I was yanked out of my body, and I was sent spinning through the universe at this amazing velocity in a white tube of light, and I was watching clouds come at me, patterns and colors and noises, and choirs of angels seemed, or at least unearthly sounds, were making some of the most beautiful music I'd ever heard that I couldn't possibly imagine having been made here on Earth. And I was watching suns and stars birth and die. I was watching galaxies spin. I was just traveling at a velocity beyond mental comprehension. And, through time and through space and through all this continuum and back to the Big Bang and before. And, if you can accept that when I was then deposited back in my body, who knows whether it was 2 minutes later or several hours later, I had no sense of time there. I came back with a different beingness than I had been prior to that moment. And prior to that moment, I was autistic, and I had all these awareness problems. I had I had tremendous self-esteem problems. I had tremendous, limited capabilities. And when I came back, suddenly the explosion of energy within me was exponential. I could see energy in its physical form. I could see the pulsations of different energetic experiences, like colors and reds and blues and greens. I could see people's auras. I could see, I could hear, my hearing was so enhanced that I could hear a conversation directly, word for word, 30 yards away that I couldn't hear sitting next to me the day before. Every single word I could, I actually saw the origin of my thought at the base of my spine, run up my spinal cord and my nervous system, into my amygdala, out across, jump across my corpus callosum, into the frontal lobe, and then from the frontal lobe in front of my forehead, explode in sort of a soap bubble of either words or images. And I was able to trace that, plus the voices that were connected to source were speaking to me, and I had direct connection to the divine. And that is how I began the process of coming into, personal growth and development, because prior to that I had no clue anything like that could have even existed, or that anybody had ever had anything like that, or that, such a thing was possible, because I was pretty much out of all awareness. So it must have been the result of multiple years, maybe 20, 22 years of, trying to break through into a different consciousness. So at one point it happened. The breakthrough happened, and it was so dramatic that it was like a skyscraper shooting up to the sky in an instant. So my vision was clear, my auditory senses were clear, my body awareness was dramatically enhanced. I had the ability to think and hear my thoughts and see my thoughts for the first time. Before that, I was pretty numb to most everything. I had tools and strategies and skills that I'd never even known that existed in the world. So today that's fostered my obsession to assist many people in the business and the personal breakthrough situation for better ideas, clearer visions, more effective tools, superior manifestation skills, all these things that remain in the energy and experience of what most of us want today, which would be some form of opulence or prosperity. So I've developed a lot of tools in this last 40 years, and I've helped a few people cross that barrier. And, I'm in a place where I help people create constant and stable inspiration and innovation. So I kill the inner villains to reveal the inner heroes, and that's what I do. So that's my journey, sort of, if you will. Add to that the power of happiness, which is unbelievably, explosive and wonderful for me. So.
Yeah, I always hear that in your voice, just when you hopped on the phone this morning, and that was the first thing that I noticed, your happiness and gratitude. And I noticed that with a lot of folks who I will say are way showers or illuminaries, that they really just exude this joy, and it can be intentional too, that they that they focus there. I choose to be happy right now. I'm doing great.
Well,
anyway, thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. I train leaders, and part of what that is the foundation of staying in a stable place where it feels good, you know, and that's what leaders do, among other things. But leaders try to get into the space where things feel good, and not only for themselves, but the people that they lead. So they create the time for the change of stepping into that foundational process of good habits. And the best habit you can get into is feeling your joy. Just there's nothing like it. and it makes everything easy. It makes everything easy and clear. So, you know, that's pretty cool stuff.
The best habit you can get into is feeling your joy. Yeah, worthy of repeating there. Let's get into that a little bit more. So what are the, into the topic of this masterclass, what are the traits of the greats? And the second half of this may be fairly obvious to our audience. However, just bear with me because I would like to emphasize it for myself as well as everyone else. Why is it so important for those of us desiring to actualize more expansion in our finances, creativity, love life, spirituality, you know, whatever, to know what these traits are?
Well, you know, without understanding the traits that you're trying to achieve in this world, if you are going for money or you're going for better health or you're going for better relationships, know that traits are associated with those things to be sustainable. You have to own those traits, otherwise they just sort of fall away. And so, you know, I've taught, you know, these experiences for many, many years, and whatever people perceive them to be, they are foundational for great, you know, breakthroughs and achievements. So, you know, when we, for example, you know, there are principles in great wealth building. There are principles that billionaires have. There are traits that they have. And I can give you sort of a synopsis of a bunch of billionaire traits. So if you understand that these are things that all billionaires have, it is the thread that sort of helps to create their money. If you start to develop these traits, you also have the ability to vibrate in a wealthy kind of way. So the first thing is that, for example, the traits of all great people is that they first know that they're destined to be great in some way. They're destined to be wealthy. They're destined to be influential. They're destined to be, you know, champions of something. That being wealthy or a champion or healthy or whatever the case is aligned with their highest values. You know, billionaires often start very simple and humble and small. You were going to say something, Sheldon?
I was, thanks. And so I'm curious, is that a instinctual knowing that they're going, or is that also a learned knowing, an intentional choosing to find that knowing inside of them?
When we begin to understand our purpose of why we came here to the earth, which is a self-exploration, when you begin to uncover that purpose, you uncover what feels significantly like you were meant to do, to be here, and we call that destiny. I was meant to do this. I was born to do this thing. I was born to bring this information into society. I was born to bring into society what I experienced in my, what I call what life experience. I was born to do that. There's no question in my mind. I have a sense that that's my destiny. And whatever that uncovers, reveals, or brings to me, you know, I'm okay with that because, you know, I can use that as a reference point for everything that I do if I need to. So destiny is both chosen and felt. But, you know, once you have the aha of this is my purpose and that is my destiny, you know, and you can choose that until you can practice it until you can feel that. You know, either way, you then become extremely more effective at what you do. So the finding your purpose and finding what would be sensed as a destiny is something that I have found through all the, you know, great achievers in my life, all the billionaires I know. I know about 16 personally, and I've communicated with about 8 or 10 others. I know many, many, many multi-deca and centimillionaires. I know people who have done great things that have never been, recorded as historical or popular or other things like that. They've just made these amazing healings for other people. I've known monks. They all talk about, when you start to get into conversations with them, that they have a sense that this is their destiny. They are in a space. They were born to do what they do. And some of them were chosen. Some of them just, evolved from who they were based on their background and experiences. But I will tell you this, that all billionaires, millionaires, and great achievers know where they're going. And when you know where you're going, you have a sense of a destiny. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So
it's kind of the same thing, right?
When you're working toward your wealth or your financial momentum or your championship momentum as an athlete or as a business person or whatever the case may be, when you know where you're going, you get a sense that this is for you. This is your thing. And you're deeply immersed in that situation. You become hungry for service-driven activity, because this is where your life kind of is taking you, And what happens as you get better and better at recognizing that feeling, and when that feeling comes up more and more, you desire to have exceptional at what you do and not hinder yourself by others and outer limitations, One of the things that champions never do is they never subordinate themselves to the opinions of others. So one of the great traits of genius is that they're uncompromising, so they have a lot of trouble with a lot of people who want to control them, So when you show a lot of talent in one area, people want to jump on that and use that for their gratification, financially or otherwise, So the one thing that I will tell you, champions, billionaires, multimillionaires, and people of great achievement do, they do not subordinate themselves to the opinions of others ever, ever. So they simply choose their own desire, their own thoughts over those of others, no matter how logical another person's arguments may be. One of the great traits of the greats is that they take ever larger calculated risks as they go. They have risk management strategies that they apply both to their own and other people's money and services and situations. And once you come into this great desire, once you become hungry for this achievement or for this service that you are providing for other people, basically, you come into what I call attention surplus order. When it comes to any kind of risk and reward. So, everybody's heard of ADD or ADHD or whatever, that's attention deficit disorder, but, people of great achievement have attention surplus order. So they are very, very focused on the things that are important to them, extremely focused. So they are in a surplus of attention for those areas rather than at a deficit. Actually, there's no such thing as attention deficit disorder. That's when people in authority think when you make them uncomfortable because you don't respond to their value system. But so, for example, the greats, they seek and they love and they thrive on challenges. They have thick skins. They're not affected by other people's opinions of them. They live according to their own desires and values, and they thrive on, balance of support and challenge. And so, the traits of the greats are amazing. When you begin to go through those things, you start making your decisions more effective and more efficient continuously. So you adapt these kinds of traits, For example, the greats are all focused on their primary specialties without becoming distracted by any secondary ventures. Tim Ferriss, the guy who wrote the 4-Hour Workweek, his biggest thing in conversation is he said, "I want to be the best in the world to say no to people and things." He only wants to focus on what he does. He doesn't subordinate to any lower priority distraction. So he's vigorously driven, and they are all the traits of the greats are all vigorously driven by their purpose and by their vision and by their inspiration. And they're willing to consistently put in the long hours and the work required to achieve that situation. You know, they're focused on fulfilling themselves. They're focused on fulfilling their inspiration, whatever that happens to be. And they set, and they often set high and challenging goals. One of the great things about great visionaries is that, you know, a big vision generally that creates billions of dollars and, you know, creates very, very high achievement is one that has the purpose of desire to serve vast numbers of people behind it. You're not going to hear this kind of stuff too often out there, so this is pretty great stuff. So, and then what happens is that a champion will always continuously raise their already high standards. You know, they all believe in themselves. They all stick to what they believe. They're determined, though, they're, and basically they're tough and they're unyielding, and they transform obstacles and challenges into opportunities. So, you know, those are just a few, you know. And one of the great things about taking on a big vision and a big and having the traits of the greats is that you don't take on normal problems. You know, first of all, you have a clear mission that emerges from you, and that clear mission then takes on, you know, bigger and bigger problems. So the greatest among us take on global problems. Leaders tackle globally challenging problems that serve and fulfill millions of people continuously. You know, they create, they locate, and they affiliate with people who are innovative and help those solutions come true on a mass level. So a lot of it is basic inspiration, deciding and receiving the inspiration that you are unique in this world, you know, complete with making sure that everybody is compensated for all their efforts. So the integrity portion is really, you know, paramount to those kind of traits. So how am I doing here? Is this what you're looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's where I am with this. You know, it's great, and I love, you know, I love hearing about traits, like, you know, I love hearing about the traits of the greats. And then there's a part of me, and probably some folks out in the audience, they're thinking, well, you know, that all sounds great, but I'm just, you know, I'm not there. I don't know what my, I'm not really quite sure what my passionate purpose is, especially on a global scale. I don't even know if I feel safe inside of myself to set those huge kind of goals. I mean, that could really shake up my comfort zone. You know, so like speaking of Tim, for example, Tim Ferriss, I know that he shares that he didn't always have these traits. You know, he didn't always set high expectations. In fact, he was very, as he says, he was planning his suicide. He had made the decision in his van and was in the planning stages of leaving this world. And then he had a shift and, you know, set him on a whole different trajectory. So what, you know,
by the way, I had that experience too. So
yeah. Yeah. And so did I, you know, I had a similar experience, a spiritual awakening experience. It was very, very powerful and dramatic, different than yours, but you know, those kinds of things illuminate us, and we carry that illumination from that point on, or they, like Tim's, his illumination really propelled him to share and help people. So if we don't have these kind of big, impactful, dark night of the soul moments, how can we build up within ourselves these traits? You know, where would you start somebody, like I was just talking about, somebody that says, gosh, I don't, you know, I'm afraid to make a huge global claim as to, you know, a goal. That just sounds out there for me. I'm just dealing with my smaller perspective of life right now. But I like the idea.
The first thing is to have this understanding that the better you feel, the easier things get. So that you are, because when you feel good, what's happening is that you have no resistance. Or you are, the thing that makes people feel bad is that they are resisting moment by moment what's happening in their world. They are saying no to that situation, or they're angry about it, or they're using these negative emotions. So the first thing is to find out what makes you happy, what lights you up. What puts you into a place of inspiration? And everything
Mind
lights
out.
Everybody has all kinds of stuff that lights them up, you know. And but most people, I won't say most, but a lot of people, you know, deny that that is something that they have that gives them meaning. You know, because their parents or the media or other people said they can't make a living. You can't make a living at talking. That's what Oprah did. She made a living in conversation. She said, you know, my only desire in this world is to have great conversations. You know, look where she got. So,
yeah.
You know.
And I know a few
we had
people.
Yeah, you know, me too. So you know, you have to come to a place of what lights you up. Once something lights you up and then you really feel like, you know, you want to do that, when it's inspiring, and you'll know when it's inspiring, you get this sense of relief. And then what happens is, as you begin to roll those images and thoughts around inside of your head, they start to feel better and better. You get more and more immersed in that. And as you roll those images around inside of yourself, what starts to emerge is the archetype of your own inner hero. And when you find your own inner hero, you start knowing your real values. Not the things that have kept you down, but the things that you want to move toward. So you know, from
Harrison,
that
let me stop
experience,
you for one sec. I love what you're sharing here, but I want to back up for one second, because the moment, I'll speak for myself and I'm sure others, the moment we start thinking of some of those things that maybe light us up, there might be a limiting belief that pops in, a voice, habitualized voice, maybe internalized, a little implant that says, oh, that you can't do that. You da 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 da. What do you do with that?
Well, I want to tell you, it's not for some. Everybody. The bigger the goal, the more obstacles pop up. The more resistance pops up. It has to, otherwise, you know, what are you going to achieve if you don't overcome obstacles? So the obstacle is your friend. So the deal is to stop looking at the things that pop up as being in your way, and rather as things that show you on the way, you know. So it's really important to understand that whatever shows up as a resistance, I can't do that, or, you know, I'm not good enough, or, you know, what makes me think I can get to that space or whatever, those are all ego energetic thoughts that are there to supposedly help you to be safe, to keep you from humiliation or harm in some way or other. But when you recognize that ego is always negative and soul is always positive, the positive emotions, so you want to make a choice. You have that ability. You can't hold two opposing thoughts in your mind simultaneously. You can't hold the I can't thought and the I can thought, you know, in your mind simultaneously and have either of them, you know, happen. Mm-hmm. And what has been there the longest in your subconscious is always, you know, the stronger. And if you've been years of I can't do that, or it's not, you know, that's not for me, or how can I even begin to think of something global, you know, when those things have been in your mind for a long period of time, they're basically dominant. But you have a choice. The choice is, what lights me up? I'm going for this. You know, you make a decision. All, you know, the guys who make billions of dollars, and it's so disproportionate, millions and billions of dollars, it's so disproportionate for most people on the earth who just make a living, basically, and sometimes have problems doing that. That's because most of the culture is in debt. Most of all the world culture is in debt in one form or another. You know, those people don't look at things that way. They don't see things that way. So the people who are doing great stuff, they don't look at the, you know, what is the obstacle. Napoleon said, I never see the obstacle, I only see the objective. So you have to make a choice that the objective is more important than the obstacle, and that you're willing to go through it because you've already suffered the negativity of those things, but you still survived and you're still here and you're still going, you know. So there's we've got to make a high priority inspiring judgment on getting past the low priority tasks or distractions, you know. And if you don't make that choice, you're always going to, you know, be in the low priority stuff, because that is what we're trained for. We are trained, society trains us, our parents train us, our peers train us, the media trains us, all to be in low priority stuff, to look at just what's enough for you to have, you know, to be at a comfort space. You know, higher things are not comfortable, basically. They're not comfortable, but they are incredibly elated in the process. So what mm-hmm. happens as you find your feelings of, you know, and increase that, what Napoleon Hill calls burning desire within you, you know, you upgrade that situation. It's uncomfortable at first, but once it stabilizes, it may take a day, a week, whatever the case may be, a month to stabilize. But once it stabilizes, now you've got a momentum going that breaks through everything. So, you know, you start to come into the influence and leadership at whatever levels you desire, you know. And when you have a big vision, it's much easier to manifest than small visions, you know, average visions. Small visions mean that you have to put struggle into the situation. Big visions are easy because they generate energy from a lot of people. Does that make sense? They generate energy.
That does make sense. Right.
Yes. Yeah, so the bigger the vision, the more and the possibility, the greater the possibility, and the bigger the vision, the more energy is generated on its behalf. So,
that's great. I've never heard you or anyone else say it that way. If I'm hearing this accurately, there's a collaboration because you've enrolled so many participants in a big vision.
Yes, that's one thing, and that energy of the big vision itself will enroll by virtue of the matrix. I mean, I don't know how spiritual your people are, but this is a thing on soul. If you understand that the matrix is not one person, the matrix has connections to everybody on the planet. So if you have a big vision, if you have a vision to build a new car, like Tesla, for example, there are people out there who want a different car. There's people out there who want to sell a different car. There's people out there who want to construct a different car. There's people out there who just want the novelty of showing off a good different car, et cetera, et cetera. And they all come together at the same time. No vision is independent, nor is any idea independent. So
that's what I meant by collaboration. It's like this collective consciousness collaboration. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really profound.
So
I love that.
Thank you. So, you know, we aim to please. biologically, sociologically, and economically.
Yeah. So the bigger the vision, right, maybe so, we can restate that one last time. The bigger the vision, the... what was it again? The essence of that, that there's that collaborative or...
The bigger the vision, the easier it is to manifest because it's in the matrix. It's not just a singular thing. If you get a vision or if you get an idea, that isn't just you. That's part of the matrix of everything happening with your, and it comes to you through your talent for all the people who are wishing something similar that is related. That's how the collaboration happens in the matrix. It's a really interesting system that sources set up for us, or that we've set up for ourselves in the spiritual end and in the invisible field. So in the field, if you will, of all possibilities. And as we set our own high priority agendas in this way, you know, the essence of time falls away, and then the ability to understand and be insightful improves. Actually, the bigger the vision, the greater intelligence is generated within you as well, because energy and intelligence are pretty similar. And the observation that you have is really the variation on the principle of source, if you will. So things that come up are, you know, have to do with the power of happiness and understanding the power of your own spirit. So I hope that helps people out there, and I hope that this kind of insight makes a difference in people, because, you know, the best thing you can do is prioritize what's inspiring to you. Now, that aligns you with the wisdom of yourself and the wisdom of nature, which you may or may not have already been able to tap into, but it is the greatest efficiency of action, or maybe the path of least resistance, is me. You might want to call it that. So inspiring, and it's your greatest service, and by definition, it requires less, the greater the vision, the less mastery you need to get it done, because everybody else's mastery is involved in it too, involving less specialization to somebody who would love to do those very same tasks that you don't want to do. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I'd love to, at this point, give our audience an action step. Why don't you get out pen and paper and just take 10 minutes and make a list, without judging or analyzing, of 10 things, minimum of 10 things that inspire you. And they can be as silly and as interesting and as truthful and as authentic as you want. No rules. 10 things that inspire you. Just start there.
As crazy and as weird as you want to, because truth of the matter is, it's the denial of that crazy, weird part of ourselves that often keeps us back, because we feel it's not acceptable to other people. But the truth is, the more you let the craziness of you out, and everybody has a crazy side, the greater becomes your effectiveness, because now you're authentic, and then the energy is unblocked. So, and it's fun. The craziness actually comes into a fun space. It fills your life with inspiration and helps everything grow.
It's so funny you're sharing that, because 5 minutes before we hopped on the phone, I got a text message from my sister. She had some pictures of me recently, and one of them was my eyes just bugging out big time. I was in Hawaii, and I don't know what the heck I was doing. I think I was playing with my niece, who's so full of joy, and she said, happy birthday, crazy eyes. And I typed back, I love my crazy eyes. I love my crazy self.
Well, my little granddaughter got on my lap the other day. She's 3 years old. And she said, she calls me grandperson. So she said, grandperson?
Grandperson.
She said, I peed in my diapers. She said, Bella, so did I. she just went crazy. She said, you're so silly, grandperson. But you know what? It was such a moment of joy for me to just, make her laugh like that, to get her into a laugh space like that. So what happens is, the crazier you are, the more funny it can become, the comedy it becomes. And then that endears you to other people. So it's a great thing.
And liberating for us inside. We feel so much better when we can own our... Go ahead, Garrison.
Yeah. And liberating for the people who you're working with or talking to, or whatever the case may be, because when people laugh with you, they bond with you. When people feel your craziness and they don't judge you, the ones who judge you don't bond with you. But if somebody, but guess what? That the crazier you are, the more you're going to find people who will bond with you.
And why is that? That's important. Why is that?
Law of attraction, buddy.
In other words, everybody's crazy in their own little lovely way.
When you're hiding them, they don't get out there, so you don't get a resonant energy, so you feel isolated. But when you let it out, the people who are like-minded come into your life. So the frustration is gone. You don't have to hold it down. When a cork is underneath the water, it takes a lot more pressure than when it floats, when it's on the top, because you have to hold it down. The moment you release it, it floats easily, So you want to be in a space of highness or floatingness, and that's what happiness is. Basically, you're in a steady state of well-being. You're floating on top of the water instead of trying to suppress and hold things back or down. So when you're in that space, your highest values come out, because it's real, because you're floating now and you're letting things happen and making things happen simultaneously without you having to hold back. And there's nothing like letting go. You feel totally liberated, and you get to export your resources out into the world in a way that is very profitable, usually, with world benefits.
Wow. That is a, you know, I'm noticing the time here, and that's, I think, a perfect segue to end on. Very powerful. Gosh, okay, well, let's dive in. You know, now that people are probably saying, I want to talk to Harrison more. How can they do that, Harrison? What do you suggest? What's coming up for you? Got any live events or online workshops? Why don't you share a little bit for those of us who would like to get to know you or work with you?
Sure. Well, one thing, I'm going to give your audience a gift just for fun, and that gift is How Billionaires Set Goals. That's a free gift, and it's an hour-long audio I've done that shows you a way that probably you've never heard before. About 6 years ago, I had the opportunity to interview 16 billionaires, and what I found astonished me, actually. They don't set goals like anything you read in a self-help book. They set it very differently. So, you know, I'm not promising that you'll become a billionaire if you do it the way they did it, but I am promising that your finances will increase dramatically if you use the process that's involved there. So that's one thing, How Billionaires Set Goals, which then takes you to a trifecta of wealth-producing products or that I've got for you, basically, for only $37. So you have a deep immersion in the wealth process for $37. You know, it's absolutely phenomenal. The cost is worth many, many, many times that. But also, if you just want to find out more about me, myself, I have a branding page which tells you everything that I'm involved in, and that's Harrison Klein, .weebly.com. So Harrison Klein, HARRISONKLEIN, .weebly.com. And that will give you an overall view of my courses, of my events, of my speeches, all those other things like that. So, and the businesses I've been involved in and a history of a bunch of things. So that's my branding page, Harrison Klein. .weebly.com, and the free gift for you guys is How Billionaires Set Goals, .com, and that takes you to a free audio and an offer of a one-time offer of $37 for three different audios I've done on being able to see yourself wealthy, on being able to do a number of different wealth generating traits of the greats kinds of things. So you'll have better ideas, clearer visions, more effective tools, greater strategies. You know, you'll move into a different energy of opulence and influence if you follow those processes and, you know, come to whatever levels you desire, at least know the pathway so that if you haven't gotten there, you at least know the steps it takes to get there. Gives you a good sense of habits, success habits, et cetera, and all the things you need to know to get to where you want to go. A real development plan in small, manageable steps. How's that?
That's great. That's wonderful. And are you speaking again anytime soon that you can share with us?
I have a workshop this weekend, actually. So it's going to be here in Florida. But it's kind of, if you have to fly in, it's probably too late because it starts tomorrow.
hey, you never know. I have some audience members in Florida.
Well, okay. Actually, it starts Friday. So you can go to the reunificationworkshop.com.
Yeah. Yeah, that will be too late. Okay.
So, you know, if you're in Florida, then just kind of show up. It'll be at the go to the reunification .com, I believe, reunificationworkshop.com. If you're in Florida, just drive over. It's at the Marriott Heron Bay in Parkland, Florida, which is not far from Fort Lauderdale. Where am I speaking next? I have a couple of things. I don't know my schedule off the top of my head, Sheldon. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So, didn't mean to put you on the spot. I just, well, I'll tell you what. Well, just go grab Harrison's gift, and that'll be on the link right there. You guys are probably already looking at that on the page there, and shoot on over to his website, and then you'll find out more information, and you can sign up on his newsletter if you want to stay connected and know what he's doing next and how to stay involved and inspired. It's always, Harrison, every time I talk with you, I come away feeling inspired, feeling expanded, and always grateful to speak with you. So,
thank you. I'm grateful.
Good to be with you, buddy.
My pleasure, and you know, I enjoy doing this. I enjoy being with you, and you know, and I certainly enjoy making breakthroughs for the people who come through this process. So, you know, that's my obsession. So, here I am, and thank you for the opportunity to meet with your audience, and you know, thank you for the opportunity to sort of, you know, express my teaching. Hopefully on a one-on-one and better basis to everybody who hears this. And if you guys want to give me any instant feedback, I'm always up for that as well. So let's reach for a wider and wider space in this planet for the good people who are, you know, lighting it up and making it move forward. Somebody asked me what my purpose was, and I said to advance humanity forward. This is the same purpose that was expressed by Steve Jobs, same purpose expressed by Da Vinci, same purpose expressed by a lot of geniuses out there. You know, when you have a strong purpose to move humanity in itself, humanity, I'm not just saying us, not yourself, but to move humanity forward, you're always successful. So I'll leave your audience with that because the universe supports that immeasurably.
Mm-hmm. I remember hearing once along, just when I started my spiritual journey, this master Qigong guy who had studied in Tibet, lived in the monasteries for years and years and years, and he said something powerful to me. He said, the universe tends to support that part of itself which is growing. Oh, the universe always supports that part of itself which is growing. Something like that. Anyway, Harrison, thank you. Thanks for leaving us with that last little profound nugget. And audience, thank you for being here and spending this last 45 minutes with both Harrison and I. We appreciate it, and we appreciate you. And tune back in into the next masterclass, and we'll do it again. Take care, everybody.
Woohoo! Thank you.
Woo!